But I think we should get started with this one. What do you think? Pedro, what do you think?
Let's do it.
Because today's September the 2nd, 2017. Gentlemen, to my left, I got Pedro. To my right, I got Farghini. I'm Alejandro. And motherfuckers, let's talk about cars. Yo, hit it, Pedro. Sick and tired of censoring myself. I'm going to say motherfuckers as many times as I want to now on podcasts.
And then we'll bleep them out.
And then we'll bleep them out for advertising purposes.
Bleeping out, I think, makes you tougher. Makes you tougher. You know that, right?
I think so, too.
Do you know why?
Because, look, when I say fuck like this and it's bleeped out, it sounds like you can't contain me.
Yeah, you know, it's like,
I need to be contained.
It's like, you know the rules, but you're still going to say fuck.
That's right.
But it gets bleeped.
But when he gets bleeped, it's like it's bad.
Ivan, if you bleep mine after the fuck.
there was an interview with Marshawn Lynch the other day, and he was like dropping F-bomb after F-bomb because he doesn't care. Marshawn Lynch does not care. You would love him on your team, Farshawn.
I actually know, because you would love Marshawn Lynch on your team.
Yeah, yeah. But the guy who was doing the reporting with him was like, you can't say those things. And he said, y'all going to bleep this out.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the editor who's looking at all of that is like this.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
Just like Ivan, because immediately when you said that, when you censored mine, Ivan, I just picture Ivan going, oh my God.
Guys, he's
got
to sit there
on.
And time it. Yeah. Like, I'm like, no, Ivan, you need to go the fuck a little further.
So let's hop into the first topic of the day. We're going to do a little warm-up question like we always do, but this is one that we've been talking about amongst ourselves off camera for the last, gosh, I want to say a month and a half.
At the very least,
month and a half, 2 months. And it's finally made its round into the podcast today. And the question derives from the new Mercedes X-Class, Mercedes pickup truck. And Farshad asked, do you like your contractor driving a truck that nice or not?
Yeah. And this would apply mostly, I'd say, would you say for the Mercedes base truck or for like a 63 AMG version or a 65 AMG version?
I think for America, it's the concept of your contractor rolling up in a Mercedes truck.
And when we say contractor,
we say somebody who's coming to like help build your house or do your landscaping, just a contractor,
a professional.
Someone involved in construction for your home or your office.
Someone who's coming to your house to give you an estimate. Yeah, you'll have to spend money on.
Oh, you know what? It could even be a plumber. Yeah, a plumber could show up because they're like $35,000.
Yeah.
So the question is, Farghini, let me ask. No, let's ask Pedro this question. Would you be offended or would you be bothered by the contractor showing up, like your plumber showing up in one of these?
And also, let me add a question to that. In your mind, you're going to be like, oh, shit, I'm about to be overcharged.
No, here's exactly what I would do. I would let him come and give me the estimate, and I would immediately say, okay, thank you. Let me talk to my wife about this and think about it. And then I would call another contractor and let them come in. Because honestly, I feel like I would be overpaying this guy on his work.
Okay, so how about this? I love that you answered that. So how about this? The next contractor comes in a
Ford.
2003 Ford.
In a Ford Raptor. How about that?
Not a Ford Raptor.
I want to bring it down.
No, because I want to know like what concept. Because to me, the Raptor, it's still not at a Mercedes level. For regular people that don't know don't know shit about cars.
Okay, how about this? You got three bids.
Yep.
They're all within good range. One's the Mercedes bid. The guy is a Mercedes. The guy is a Raptor. And the guy is a shittier truck.
I'm going with the guy with the shitty truck. Here's why. I trust that he has bills that he has to pay, and he's willing to do whatever work is necessary to take care of it. The other guys with the nicer trucks, I would feel like that I'm not as much of a priority.
How amazing.
or it's not going to come across as I'm a priority. Oh, he doesn't need my money. I'm not going to rush. You know that.
How amazing is the perception of
that's incredible
vehicle that you show up to someone's house?
That is incredible. Yeah. What about you?
If the guy showed up in Mercedes, I'd be like, oh, get the fuck out of here. Because this has happened to me once. A guy in a 911 like Carrera S shows up to give a bid. Immediately, I was like, I was telling my girlfriend at the time, I was like, something's not off. And again, he gave us a bid that was too high. He didn't know how to do the job. Blah, 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 all that stuff. I was like, I knew I knew because of that car, I shouldn't
How old was he?
Young guy.
Ah, so dude, he's
a real young guy.
His dad bought him that car, and he's starting a business clowning around in that fucking car. Yeah, that makes sense.
By the way, I love your theory. I didn't think of your theory, but I love it.
But that's the way. You want to feel like the person that you're hiring is eager to work and that you're a priority, right? If somebody shows up in expensive, nice things, you immediately think, oh, this guy doesn't need my work.
Why should I give him the bid?
I mean, you know. I mean, the guys that you hire aren't driving in fancy trucks. Not that is what made the case, because your guys that work for you are just fucking awesome. It's just that's the perception, and that's how it is. Even the guy who built this community isn't going around in flashy things.
He's got a nice truck.
Yeah, he's got a pickup truck. Well, and just removing that completely from this, before that, I had a contractor that showed up once at my, because I was doing a commercial building, and I needed to redo like about 7,500 square feet, an entire floor upstairs and half a floor downstairs. No, actually like 10,000 square feet, because it was the first office and the third office, whatever. So I had to redo everything, and I wanted that to be like the most high-end project I've ever done. So I called this guy, and he showed up. I can't remember what car. He had like a Mercedes, but like an old one. And
like an S-Class type
of thing? No, he actually had a pickup truck.
Okay.
And he's telling me, yeah, I work with this and that, and I'm also doing that project. And we walk in, and he starts doing his numbers, and the dude knows everything that he's talking about. He's like, boom, boom, boom. He's fucking on it, like on it. So I know that he's telling me the truth about the other projects. I know that he's really calling contractors in front of me. I know that he's really getting the estimates that he's saying. I know that everything he's saying makes sense. So I turn around, and I look at the guy, and I go, do you think I'm stupid? When he's getting in his car, and he goes, why? And I go, you can't possibly just show up in that thing and expect me to believe that that's really your car. What do you really drive? And he just fucking stops and looks at me, and he really thinks hard about it and goes, it was at the time the CL63 AMG.
Okay.
That's my daily, and I want to get into something more fun. And I go, exactly, motherfucker. And that's got to be nothing compared to what you could drive. And he goes, yeah, I love cars. But one day I showed up to a site, and the guy, like a billionaire, his client's a billionaire, goes, why do you have such a night? Like, what about the environment? And he started asking me all these questions. And I was like, you know what? I'd rather not show up to anyone's house like this anymore. Because he does put like, it does play with perception. But to me, I wanted that guy at that moment. I wanted the successful guy that has been doing this forever to do this job for me. But when a contractor comes, like, it's just going to redo my plumbing, or he's going to do something in the house. Even though I understand that there are humongous companies that send people like that to the houses, and I could get like the boss, I'd be like, no, I'm not going to hire you.
Yeah, listen, they could be that person that drives up in the nice car could be the best person available.
No doubt.
There's a good chance that they are, but I don't want something getting away of my judgment of him from the beginning, and that's going to happen. And that's partly my fault as well.
But it's human nature.
It's perception.
I mean, just think about
the
it.
The reality.
When you would go buy a building, you would shy away from even rolling up in a Rolls Royce.
No. I do it in my Smart.
You made a point not to do that, because you didn't want people taking advantage of you because of the perception that they're going to have of the Rolls.
Right.
They're like, oh, this guy has money. I can bump up the price a little more.
And the thing is, when they see an S-Class, they go, oh, that guy's doing well. But when they see a Rolls, they go, that guy's doing really well.
Well, I agree. And I did that until the last one. On the last one, I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be the cheapest fucking guy out there.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to tell him up front, and I'm just going to lay the game. And I just did. And they knew there was no room to play and fuck around with.
Right,
that's it. Yeah. But I had to be extremely aggressive and a dick with showing up in the roles.
Of course.
Letting them know I'm not here to play games.
Right. I know what's up.
I'm not going to get bullshit. Because everyone thinks, too, when you have money, that you're an idiot.
For some reason,
everyone assumes that, that guy has money, he'll overpay for this. No.
Like, how do you think I got here?
Exactly. Most likely the person with the money is going to be the cheapest motherfucker you know. So that's, I show up letting them letting them know exactly that up front now.
Of course.
But perception is a huge, huge part of it.
I just want to add one quick thing to this. Back in my old company, I was trying to raise funding. So I was meeting with investors, and I met with like two or three. Like, one guy I met, like, rolled up in a Prius. I was like, oh, man, like, But he was legit. He had the one guy showed up in like a M6, whatever. I was like, yeah, like, yeah. Like,
oh.
Like, yeah, I got a better shot. Like, I have a better shot. Like, even that, it's just, you call, it's such
yeah, of course.
Fucking
of
huge course. Mind fuck.
If the guy shows up in the Rolls, you're like, he's going to give me all the money and then some.
Yeah. First shot, is that why you don't like BMWs now?
No. And then it turned
I didn't know if that was the source.
You ready for this? It turned out the guy with the BMW that I thought was going to keep... He ended up being like a shyster type, and the guy with like the Prius was like a real legit.
Yeah, you never know. I also had just real quick. I'm sorry that we're in investor stories. I had an investor that his family super loaded, insanely loaded from the Hamptons, like old New York money, all that shit. And he was going to give us $10 million for a movie that we were putting together. And the dude's like, yeah, I'm going to sign you the check. I'm just going to fly home and get it done and whatever. Goes home, call him on Monday, doesn't pick up, call him on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, doesn't pick up. We're like, all right, this motherfucker like just bailed on us. He calls us like 2 weeks later saying, oh, all of my family got murdered when I got back home. We're like, holy shit, poor guy, because he's really rich. He's just a fucking idiot. Like, his daddy didn't want to give him the money, and he just didn't know how to say no.
For a second there, I was like, oh, really?
No.
Poor guy. I didn't see this on the news.
Even the guy with a private plane will disappoint you. It's my point. Of like, course. It doesn't Wait,
so,
matter.
So you got the $10 million, right?
No.
So let's hop into the next topic. And the next set of topics comes from salamandra.com. And once again, like we've always said, salamandra.com is the source for all your automotive news content. It's a social hub for you to go in. You can post videos, you can post pictures, you can post blogs, you can engage with us, you can engage with the community, and you can earn more penis points.
No, I'm not getting engaged again.
Yes.
No. I'm not getting engaged again. Shot. Guys, I'm not this doing
this different.
Again.
This is different.
What do you mean?
This doesn't apply.
Will I lose half of everything?
No, you will not.
Okay.
You will actually benefit from it.
Okay, then I want to get engaged. Let's get engaged.
But it does still require a commitment from you.
Okay.
Hey, this is actually free too.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Anyone can post there.
Yeah, it's free and I don't lose half of everything?
That's right.
Okay, I'm engaged. I'm fully engaged.
So the first topic we're going to discuss is from Bold Cars, and he was bringing up the new Bentley GT.
Did you motherfucker see that?
I did. I want to hear Farshad or your thoughts on it first.
Let's give a little background to everyone that's listening. Bentley is now has redesigned their new Bentley GT. The GT, like, it honestly lasts, their cycle is pretty long.
That was a long cycle,
it's like
right?
a 7-8 year cycle. Yeah. At least it feels like that.
Yeah.
And the new one's about to come out. Well, the new one was released, unveiled. Yeah. We saw the new lines. The design is beautiful. It's catching a lot of people's attention. So what are your thoughts on it, Fargini?
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah?
Spending this much time with Rolls, I'm off Bentley a little bit. And to me, it's just like, because you're taking an A8 and sprucing it up. You're taking an A8 and sprucing it up for
you're putting a little sparkles of magic.
Whereas Rolls now is starting to get into their own chassis and
standalone platforms, baby.
And I feel the separation, baby. If you're competing with Rolls, like, and you got those resources, I think you're being a little bit lazy. Just my.
No, yeah, that's your opinion. Of course, that's opinion. Perfect. Absolutely.
But would I love to drive one of those? Hell yeah, for sure.
Bring it on, Danny. Yeah. Bring it on.
But I think it looks good. I think it's going to do well. It's just I'm fortunate to spend this much time with Rolls, and I get to see the differences. So,
what about you?
Other than the front headlights and the grill, it looks exactly like a Wraith to me.
Really?
It looks just like a race.
I love that they went in that direction because their GT was competing directly, in my opinion, and that was their biggest problem against the S Coupe, the CL63.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It was directly like a 1-to-1. Let's go head to head. And Mercedes was offering way more technology for way cheaper. And that's why, to me, it was such a hard. Why would I have to buy this, even though I own two of them? Please mind you how stupid I am. No question about it. But also, you guys know how stupid I am. And then you get into the Mercedes world and you realize how much you're overpaying for the Bentley so that you can get less technology, more wood, and more problems.
Yeah, but it's a name, though. But you're buying into
the
name.
Get the B, of course. And then, you do get like that nice feeling in your balls. Yeah. But it's still, nah. Once you get into Rolls Royce, you realize, what was this?
But didn't somebody tell us when Rolls Royce doesn't approve you, you go down a Bentley? Or is it the other way?
No. They said that.
No, I thought that was a Ferrari Lamborghini.
No.
It's when Rolls doesn't approve you.
Someone at a dealership was telling us like Bentley's the perfect dealer or the perfect brand in the U.S. for those who get denied by Rolls. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, people come in into the Rolls dealership. They show up and they're like, hey, want a lease of Rolls? They pull their credit. Bah, 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 bah. Ooh, sir, we got bad news. You're getting a Bentley.
Good news, bad news.
I'm getting a Rolls Royce. Bad news, I'm actually getting a Bentley.
Hey, but that's good news for O'Gara because they have Rolls Royce and Bentley.
Yeah, both. By the way, well,
that's a strategic move, right?
I think so.
Is that for what's this happening reason. With Maserati Alfa?
It has to be. Okay.
He's going to go off.
Can we go into this? Let's go direction.
Yes, of
okay, please. Maserati. For those of you listening who are not very aware, Maserati is struggling with sales right now. Not on paper, because
wait,
on
why
paper.
Are you saying, why are you saying right now?
they've been struggling with sales for a very long time. Yeah. But right now they have this thing going where a lot of their cars, and this is information that I've been told by a couple of dealer owners, Maserati dealer owners, that Maserati's saying, and again, this is just directly from them. I'm not saying I have evidence, blah, blah, blah. This is just what I'm hearing, and it makes a lot of sense. That Maserati, all the cars that they have on their lot, they're marked as sold.
Correct. Right. But that's news. That was news, by the way.
I understand, but I heard it directly from dealers that were, like, didn't know what to do against Maserati for making them do that. Because it's not fair that you have to mark them as bought.
Right.
Therefore, you bought them and they're sitting in your inventory and therefore now it's your fucking problem.
By the way, you want to explain why they count them as bought?
Well, they count them as bought so that whenever you do whenever you provide financials for your quarter earnings, you're saying, we sold all these cars. Look at how many units and how much money we have, even though the cars are still sitting on the lot.
And to the public.
Not sold.
It's to shore up investor confidence.
That's right. Know? That's right. So that's a way to manipulate stock prices and all that stuff and revenues and blah, blah, blah. So Maserati's been doing that for a while. Everyone's been sitting on those cars. They're offering these incredible deals on leases because no one can get rid of the cars. I mean, that's where the joke comes from, right? Right. Like the $499 motherfucker.
Well, they're way $4.99
a month, motherfucker. Yeah.
They're like,
so you have the Ghibli right now, which is a huge flop.
Absolutely.
Maybe not on sales because I don't know how many they've sold because it's a very good, you look richer than you are car.
Oh, it's the greatest one of all time.
Right? Because it's so cheap and it gets you in an Italian car that has like the Trident thing and the Italian sexy
design.
It's
Maserati.
But it's a great piece of shit.
Yeah.
And now, it truly is. I'm sorry that I'm just being so blunt. It's a real piece of shit. And now you're bringing Alfa Romeo in, which by no means is a fucking luxury brand like that you're seeing and you're going to be like, oh my fucking God, the detail in these cars.
Oh, it's like a Ford or a Chevy.
It's an Italian Chevy, but it's a better Italian Chevy than Maserati's an Italian Chrysler.
Correct.
It's just way better. I'm sorry. And also Alfa is way cheaper.
Newer. Like,
it's got like that new thing going for itself. Yeah. So the people that bought into the Maserati dealership bought into the Alfa dealership. So that means, are they giving up? Are they throwing their hands up and saying, fuck it, I don't care what happens with the Maseratis that I have on the lot or what? What does that mean? Because now the customers should come in and buy the Alfa, which is way cheaper and more Italian.
You would assume they're going to cross shop while they're already there. And they're going to go, well, can I look at a Ghibli? Can I look at the Giulia?
That's what I'm saying. And people will walk away with a Giulia.
Unless you need that name. Strategically need the name Maserati.
No, but who would need that now that you're an Alfa Romeo?
Like junior agent?
But even if you're a junior agent and you want to come up in the world, the Alfa name's still pretty good.
Actually, you know what? That's interesting.
Think
see
about
how
it.
Like, what do you perceive as Alfa in the U.S.? Do you see it as a premium brand? Or
do you see it like a Maserati-like brand or not? I do.
I don't. I really do see Alfa as like just a. In the U.S. as a step above Chevy and Ford, even though I know that they're like a competitor, just prestige-wise, but I don't see it up there with Maserati.
So if you had a choice between a Ghibli and a Giulia, respect however you want them, which one would you pick?
I would probably take the Ghibli.
Oh!
Yeah. This is the problem. I know why he's saying that, though.
Because of the money that he's worth?
Yeah.
That's it?
But it's also the name. Maserati is a more prestige brand than Alfa Romeo.
I'm telling you that name because I was talking to someone.
Maserati?
Yeah, I was talking to someone who was like, because they found out where I do cars and stuff. And
I mean, Lindsay Lohan did have a Maserati at some point.
There you go. And actually, women. This
by the way, for those listening and don't know who Lindsay Lohan is, she used to be an actress. Go ahead, Fargini.
Wait,
I'm sorry.
She still is an actress.
No, I think she's a reality star now. I don't know.
No idea. Go ahead.
Yeah, whatever. Her and Tara Reid should get together and
also, for those who are listening and don't know who Tara Reid is, she used to be an actress. Go on, Fargini.
What was I saying? Oh, especially women, they love the name and the way that, like, the cars look.
Right? Yeah, yeah. No, so Maserati's I promise you, Maserati's made a business out of that exclusively.
And I'll tell you what. Now I'm seeing ads on Facebook for the Gran Turismo?
The GTs, yeah.
For $700 a month.
Oh.
Wow.
That makes you go, ooh. Like, well, of course. Really made me go.
Yeah, but then you look at the interior, a Bobby Galliano.
But hold on. But at $700 a month for Gran Turismo, I'll take the outside beautifulness and the sound for a shitty interior. Like, I'll make that sacrifice.
Oh, man.
I'll make on that car, because you cannot deny how beautiful that car is. You cannot deny how great that car sounds.
No, right? It only is beautiful on the outside.
Right.
But to me, the interior, it looks like one of those from the Mercedes that we blew up.
No, I agree. I agree.
It's really
I'm willing to make that compromise. Yeah,
and it's all personal, right? I myself just don't see the need for Maserati anymore.
If those things are dipping down into the $600-$700 range, that's a fucking great bargain.
Of course.
Yep. Definitely. So moving on to the next topic was from Forexzai, Forakzai. Forexzai?
Yeah.
So he posted a Viper update. And that Viper update is from the Viper ACR attempting the Nürburgring lap record. And the guys got back out there. They were attempting it. And the very first run, Lucas, one of their main drivers, pulled a 7:01.
Which... if anyone knows anything, the ring is where everyone goes, though, tests cars and see how fast they are. And that's like the one track that everyone considers the average.
That's the bar.
That's the bar. So whatever number you get, getting a sub 7 minute number is insane. Getting close to seven, you can only imagine how ridiculous it's. I mean, it's only been done by two or three production vehicles, period.
Not many.
So.
But yeah, so his very first run. Not practice run or anything. His very first run goes out there and pulls a 7:01.
Fucking on a manual car, no assists.
Smoking it. Goes back out again and gets in a wreck.
I know. Oh, man. It's fucking heartbreaking for these
guys. From what
I
understand is, like, one of the tires blew out. He brushed the guard and it said it wasn't a bad wreck, but just because of it, the way that the ACR is when it hits something, it looks worse than what it really is. And
we got some experience with that.
Oh, I forgot about that. You're right.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're steering something with your steering.
Well, the car just went over the one of those bumps.
It was the curb.
Yeah.
Over the curb, and you just see like how violent it goes up and down because it's so stiff.
Right. There's no travel.
No.
On the suspension.
So, but it looks like. I literally just looking at the video, I was like, "That's it, my car is done."
Salvage. It's on its way.
What I'm saying, nothing happened, but it was like it just looked like it exploded, and he was going to break in half, happened. So I think it's so heartbreaking for these guys because they were so close in getting this sub 7 lap time on a manual car. I mean, this is incredibly respectful. Not only respectable, this is something incredible that they just accomplished.
Did they take two cars?
Oh yeah.
Didn't they have two cars there?
Yeah, so they did have two cars there, but one of the cars, they made a mistake and they leaked out all the differential fluid and the oil, and it there was nothing left for the
for that car to do the run.
Car to do anything. So they were down to one car at that point. And then after that, they had the wreck where it just that was it. And once they had a short amount of time, and even if they were able to fix it quickly, there was no hope left.
The good news is they got to spend some time having some sausages and beer in Germany. Right? There was more time for that, right?
I think that they were pretty bummed out. You know, obviously they spent a lot of time and they spent a lot of money doing it.
Well, you know, putting it together, you know how complicated. We all know logistics and all around this
just
shit.
Dealing with the ring is like,
oh yeah, that in itself. No, Marsha, you would know.
These guys are gonna spend another $5,000-$6,000 just because they had a wreck, because they have to bring in the wrecker crew and everybody else. Yeah. They have to come clean the track, and then they charge them for the downtime of the track, during that period.
And again, these guys were fan funded.
Yeah, completely fan funded. And Lucas what they were saying, he was just gutted because he felt like the way that his car was going then, that he was going to get that sub 7.
Well, he thought he was going to be able to even break the 657 from the 918 on it, I truly believe that car is really that fast.
He couldn't give the dude a 0.1 or 0.2 discount on the time? Come on. Just to give the dude, like, just be like, dude, come on. Give me a 659. Right? 659.
Come on.
But no, either way, it's really cool that they did this. Ultimately, at the end of the day, they just ran out of time and they ran out of money. And, you know, like, there's only so much that you can put into this. And, I think the car gods were telling them, say, look, it's just...
Mad props to these guys.
It's time to pack it up, accept what you have, and go with it. And it's unfortunate because they were killing it. They did a great job.
I mean, they broke several records still because they have the fastest manual production car to ever go around the track. The fastest American car to ever go around the track. I mean, they do have a bunch of records. Right. They just wanted like that one thing.
Yeah. Whose cars were they?
The Viper Exchange. That's where I got my ACR from.
Viper Exchange?
Texas.
What does that mean?
It's a dealership.
Oh.
The biggest Viper dealership.
The dealership loaned them the cars?
I think so. I believe so, right?
Yeah. Wow. That's going to be an awkward conversation.
Well, because you have insurance. I'm hoping that...
I don't want to complicate things, but...
I know how expensive
it is. You're in another country.
No,
you're on a racetrack.
Yeah, because... Oh, my God. Our insurance was insane.
That's going to be a great... good news, bad news.
Oh. I hope it went well for them.
I hope, yeah.
By the way, I hope they do have insurance.
Fan-funded is a great name for something.
Fan funded. I'm sure it's available. I'm sure it's taken.
That's one of those sites that I'm sure it's for sale. Like it's not even a site.
Like it's for sale for $125,000.
Hold on. Fan fund. That's a great name. Hold on. Fan funded. All right, it's already taken.
It doesn't say for how much.
No, it just says it's taken.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Just like you said.
Yeah.
Just like you said.
I knew it. Because I tried to buy it a few years ago. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Buddy's like sitting on that name, like his retirement funds.
I know.
I'm going to sit here and bump up.
Yeah, he's like, quickly.
And they're going to pitch you you should really buy it.
So with all of that being said, going after the lap times and all that, it brings up an interesting thing that just popped up on our radar. And Misha boosted Boris over in Germany. He has a garage right there on the Nürburgring.
That's correct.
He brought up in one of his recent videos that the Nürburgring has banned, moving forward, any attempt at lap records going lap times.
No, at lap times.
Yeah.
Even lap times.
Yeah. They've banned all attempts at lap times and lap records moving forward. And what they're going to do now is you have to go through the Nürburgring's official commission to go for a record.
As they should have done from the start. I've always said this, wanted to start like a governing body for all this shit because it's such bullshit that Lamborghini.
I got.
And again, this is just all speculation and it all comes from this speculation. But in reality, we all know that the Huracan Performante that went around the ring didn't have regular stock tires.
And that's what brought up a lot of the controversy is
everyone's mad at that.
Yeah.
But how is Nürburgring going to regulate all this?
Well, they're going to have a governing body.
They're going to go, okay, so let me see your tires.
They're going to be in charge of the testing equipment. They're going to be in charge of who's overseeing it, what's going on.
So your Lamborghini.
And also the tires.
So your Lamborghini, mm-hmm. you bring your Performante with whatever tires you put on it and you go, here, this is the car I want to test.
Yes.
Who are they to go, no, you got to put different tires.
No. They can tell you.
But they'll record it. They're going to record.
You can go for a lap time, but then there's going to be an asterisk next to it saying, oh, he's on slicks today.
You know what I mean? With your time, all the stats of the car will be...
Of course.
Okay,
they're saying is they're going to tell you how... Like, I'm hoping that they're going to go even to the degree of like how much horsepower your car is producing because... You can fuck with the car. Literally put all the stats, how much the car weight when you put it there, all of that stuff for
real.
So
it's going to take 3 weeks for them to do the testing before you can do your run.
Hey, man.
That's going to be the longest time.
Hey, if that's what they have to do to make some more money, hey.
Good for them.
It's a business after all.
And they need money, by the way. They're not doing too well.
Yeah, but the dude that bought him is rich as fuck.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're booked out every day.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
He'll be okay.
So I'm going to shift gears here a little bit and I'm going to downshift here. And you brought up an interesting topic to us, and I couldn't believe it when you said it. But apparently, Rolls Royce is mentioned in music more than any other brand in the world.
Yeah, yeah. I would. I'm actually fucking amazed. You know how they took that average to begin with, from the top 100 or the top 20 like hottest hits.
Yeah.
Whenever they get in there, they just measured how many times they said like brands, and Rolls Royce was just the most mentioned one, obviously along with Hennessy and all that bullshit.
But even when they like mention like Ghost, Wraith, all that counts as well.
Yeah, of course.
So like the Weeknd put them on the map.
But I'm sure the Weeknd's
a big average. he's like the curve.
And the funny thing is, I don't know if I can say this, you can bleep out, but I drove by his house yesterday. He had a white Mulsanne.
Yeah. Oh, outside?
Yeah, and
he doesn't even know. Yeah. Bentley's like, come on, man. You gotta plug in more.
No, I'm surprised though. I thought it would have been something like Lamborghini.
You told me that. Yeah. I thought he was Ferrari because everyone's like, I'm in my Rari. Like, oh, that's so cool. Yeah. You're in your Rari. You didn't do your research before talking about it.
I want to know what car brand was before. I would say Mercedes before.
I think Bentley.
I think it was like Mercedes because they were top dog.
Then Bentley
only when the Continental GT came out and rappers could afford them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The second the market opened up to like 150, 200,000,
everyone was getting
Let's go.
Was putting it in the song. Yeah, you're right.
Actually, you know what? Yeah. I'm sorry. Let me go back. Mercedes.
Yeah.
Continental GT.
Yeah.
And then Ghost, because that opened the door.
No, the Ghost is the one that did it for Rolls. 100%.
That opened the door.
The Phantom was okay. Like,
it was above certain rappers' credit.
Of course.
You know what's funny though is that Jerry, the head of PR for Rolls, he actually came out and said that, you know, they give a lot of Rolls Royces to musicians and for the videos. Like, they just go ahead and loan them out and say, here, just use these, because 20% of their clientele is musicians and rock stars. And
as they should. Just like a big stat that people are not aware is in the fight between Floyd and McGregor, the biggest winner there, everyone thinks it's Floyd, but was Rolls Royce.
Rolls Royce.
Because
all the way.
Whoever won, whoever lost was going to get a lot of money, and they were going to buy a Rolls either fucking way.
One Rolls?
I'm sorry. One fleet.
Here's what I'm curious about. Does Rolls Royce require the rapper or musician, whoever, to put insurance on the car for the music video?
No, they pay for it.
Of course they do. Because you can't get production insurance for a rap music video.
Wow, I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
No, yeah. You can't. That's
it's really fucked up. It really is fucked up.
When you're applying for film production insurance, there's only two questions that are causes of three now. There's three questions that are causes for concern now. Will a drone be used? Wow. That's question number one. Two.
Wow.
Is this for pornography?
Oh, okay. All right, I get that.
Porn is a big one.
Okay. Three. Is this for a rap music video? Not a music video. Is this for rap music video?
I did not know that. Yeah. That's incredible. But here's the thing. What's considered a rap? Like, there's a lot of like...
That's exactly why they just say rap music video.
The question
so
should
they can
be,
tell you. They'll ask you, so what exactly you're talking about? And then once you send them the idea, they're like... Ugh.
No. The question should be more specific. Will there be a lot of urban people on the set?
Oh, they'll get to that.
No, yeah.
They'll get to that.
They'll get to that. It's fucked up, man. But it's true. Yeah, that's how they do it.
It's really messed up.
But very smart of Rolls Royce. And by the way, the hard work of them giving it out, that's the payback is...
Yeah,
of course.
You're now top dog. There's no question.
So, you know what? With all of the the cars coming out and everything, yeah, Rolls is leading the market in rap music videos, music, all the way across. What is going to be the next car that makes its way into it? Like, what do you think? Do you think there's going to be a Valkyrie in a music video?
I don't think they can get their hands on those.
No. And also, it's not a car. Although it looks super cool, it's not a car that they can like just put in the video and have girls like clap their asses next to it
or
like,
pour champagne over it.
No. I'm dead serious. It's a really hard car to stunt on, other than drive and show up to the car meet. Like, even that's going to be hard for people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Like, I just don't think that's the right stunt car.
No, how about this? Let's say who is going to be the first rapper to have one?
The Weeknd.
I think the same.
I agree.
He's the only one that can fit in it. Him and Lil Wayne.
Also.
So in Hidden Hills, we're going to have a couple Valkyries?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Running around? I hope so. Can you imagine two or three Valkyries just like, bumping into each other?
Getting into an accident. We're just rolling out. It's like, all right, roll the cameras. We might as well shoot this.
By the way, here's another interesting question is Audi is actually considering a hypercar. It's not a top priority for them, but they're actually considering a hypercar. What do you think about that?
Did you read why they were saying how they pitched it?
No.
Like, because it was like an interview to Winkleman, and they're asking him, like, oh, what about the hypercar? He's like, several clients have. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm going to do this accent. I don't know why I'm going to do this accent, but just go with it. Several clients have requested us to do a hypercar, but we're not going to focus on that. Our main priority, you know what it is? SUVs.
That's everyone's main priority.
Of course, because for the first time ever, SUVs are way more popular than sedans.
Yeah, and they make way more money on them than the regular cars. So we're clear.
But now it makes sense. Now it makes sense. Now we know why Winkleman is moving to Bugatti.
No, we don't know that.
He doesn't like SUVs. He doesn't like... He doesn't like SUVs.
Pedro, you gave me another idea. You ready for this?
What?
That's why he's moving to Bugatti.
Are we getting a Bugatti SUV?
Yes, that's why he's moving there.
So he's bringing... Well, no, there were SUVs already at Audi when he got there. So.
Yeah.
I know.
But now they're focusing now completely on SUVs.
They're like, hey, homie, now you learn how to make the Q7, whatever it's called. Why don't you do a Chiron...
A Chiron 7.
So he brought the Urus to Lamborghini.
No, he didn't. He was the... But I don't...
He had something to do.
So here's the deal. That's on the news 100%. For anyone who doesn't know, Stephen Winkleman, Winkleboss, what's
Winkleman? Winkleboss is
sorry, I know. It's just my bad memory.
You got your Winkles
so,
wrong.
So, Mr. Winkleman used to be the CEO at Lamborghini.
Yep.
And
he wouldn't let us on stage at Geneva.
Yeah, he wouldn't. But it's weird because during his time in Lamborghini, nothing groundbreaking came out of Lambo. Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what came in at what time, because when he left, the Performante came about and all these
But he could have been. That could be his legacy, though.
I know.
He announced the Centenario.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
He looked really good at that presentation.
Well, that's what always kills me about it. He honestly is a great showman. I'm dead serious. He's a fucking guy that looks sharp on a suit.
He does.
He shows up. He puts the microphone. He knows how his hair.
Great hair.
He knows how that
his
looks.
Posture is perfect.
Amazing. And then he goes and does like this weird thing where he pretends to be talking in front of the camera for pictures. And he's incredible at that too. That was my first experience with him. When they unveiled something at Pebble and he was doing that, I was like, what the fuck is that? And I just started laughing. I was so drunk that year. Yeah. It's when I was ordering my Pagani. So things were going great. And I was just laughing. I was dying laughing. I was like, who the fuck is that guy? And someone was like, that's the CEO of Lamborghini. I was like, what? Why is he doing it? It was just so odd. And then you see him speaking in person. You're like, oh, okay. But I just don't understand how much control someone like that has over a brand. Because you don't know if it's VW orders to feed the SUV.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, exactly. Like the head VW.
My thing is, he's going from Lamborghini, which is a 4,000 to 7,000 car production a year type of company, right?
Yep. But soon to be 15,000 to 20,000.
Well, yeah. No. That Lamborghini truck is going to absolutely destroy the market. Just so we're all clear, that's going to be the one.
Yes.
And then he goes into Audi, which is a humongous company, millions of cars, right?
The Audi actually feeds all the other sub-brands.
For like a year.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to Bugatti, which is like a 50 cars a year, a cycle of 10 years each car. What does that tell you? Because I don't recognize the pattern here.
So are you saying there's a couple scenarios? Either A, he's doing such an amazing job, they're like, rush him to Bugatti quickly.
Or, exactly. No. Or, that could be that. Or the other option could be like, oh, man. Oh, this guy, even for Lamborghini, the one that just put him in Audi, which is a safe bet. It's like autopilot Volkswagen, like no problem. And then from there, it's like, fuck, he can't even do that. You know what? Just put him in Bugatti.
We already have a car. They're already shipping out. We don't have to do anything.
He looks
else.
Great. He fits the Bugatti persona.
Right.
Like, he can deal with that. Yeah. He can deal with 50 people a year.
And I was going to say, he could do the deliveries.
I am dead fucking serious. It could be the two of them. It could be like, wow, he's doing so amazing. Put him there.
Bugatti is a great fit for him, regardless of...
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It is a great
either way, he's going to end up there looking fucking amazing.
Could it be that...
As the CEO of Bugatti.
Could it be that the CEO of Volkswagen saw a review of the S4 and said, that's it, Winkleman. You're out of here.
No chance.
No, because then he put him in Bugatti.
I know, but that could also be
I just don't understand. If anyone, I'm dead serious, I want to be enlightened here. I want to understand the pattern here. Because I've been asking around and not a lot of people are very informed as to what goes along his responsibilities wherever he was and all that stuff. Yep. I'd love to know if you guys have some insight. If you could please let us know what your thoughts are.
And
I just want to understand.
And what do you think he's going to do? Is he going to do a Chiron RS? Or he's got to add some. Oh, great. We're getting Audi buttons and fucking Chirons now. Fuck.
Or is he going to start? I don't know.
Speaking of a Bugatti SUV, because you know they had that concept of a sedan. You've seen that, right? I don't know what it's called. It starts with a G. You've seen the Bugatti.
Yeah, the four-door one.
On a serious note, do you think people would buy a Bugatti SUV? Because the parts and stuff are there.
Can I tell you this? It's too expensive.
What's too expensive?
The car. Like, would you buy a $2 million SUV? No.
I was thinking $4 million because the Chiron's going to be...
But let's say that it's an affordable SUV. Like, and I used quotations when I said affordable for those who are just listening right yes. now. No, it's fucking impossible, right? Okay. Like, even Lamborghini. Lamborghini's being nice and their SUV is going to be $200,000, which... The most genius fucking thing in the world.
But that's a cookie cutter parts bin project.
But look how cheap it is. No, look at Ferrari, for example. Look at Ferrari. Yeah, of course, with the Zervetal.
$350,000.
$400,000. Yeah. Like, get the fuck out of here. No.
You don't think there's any case
For Ferrari, there's no space. It's going to be people buying the Lamborghini or the Rolls Royce one. Why would anyone spend $2 million? Like,
so,
let me ask you this. The Cullinan is going to be fast as fuck, too. You know that, right? Like, super fast.
Relative to everything else. It's going to be a heavy, big boy car. It's going to be a 5-second.
But do you want to drive an SUV that has to be light in order to be that quick? Like, you know what I mean? Like, no, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So they can create an SUV at $2 million that will make sense. And then do you want to devalue the brand and just sell it for $400,000?
Right. So why were they working on the sedan? Because they obviously have thoughts.
But I think that's what the thoughts were. And also remember that these people, what is it to you to build like a model? Honestly, to you to build a model, like put it together and then start hyping it up?
Well, you have to do that to get interest.
And see how many people tell you, hey, let me give you a deposit.
Yep.
How much would that be? And then you start answering the question. And when you answer the question, people go, oh, you want $2 million for a four-door? And I'm good. And then you scratch the project.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that they have enough in their clientele to take a four-door sedan and also an SUV and sell them in the 750 to a million market at very limited numbers. I think that they have the ability to do that. They could pull it off.
They do, because now there's this weird market that just created itself of people that just buy retarded shit that doesn't make sense.
Else has.
Not just that, but it's also...
it's true. No. And that's kudos to the super mega fucking rich, because I aspire to be able to do that. I do. I understand. When I was a kid, I was like, who the fuck would spend that much money on a watch?
but it's also...
If I could, I would.
It's also the elitist... mindset as well, because now there's so much like young new money that everybody's buying the things that these guys already have, and now they need something to say fuck you, I'm still the king.
So let's say you roll up on a Chiron, right?
Yeah.
How are you gonna get outstunned? Chiron SUV, right? Like, I'm just saying,
but
but
the Chiron SUV is gonna be cheaper.
It is, but it's the concept of a Bugatti Chiron SUV is
But at a million, but like, for example, at $1 million makes sense. At $2 million, I don't think people will buy it. And I just don't think Bugatti will put like all of their Bugatti real technology in $1 million car.
Let me ask you this, my friend. Do you think in Bugatti headquarters there are sketches of an SUV?
What I think Winkleman is doing at Bugatti is he's going to prepare a fake ring lap time. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm totally just kidding. I have no idea. So say that again.
If anyone works at Bugatti, just let us know. Are there some sketches?
Audi.
Are there an SUV?
Like, of course there's sketches.
Is there like a paper sketch?
There's got to be There's got to be. To all the 13 people that work at the Bugatti factory.
Please let us know.
There's always a designer there that's trying to push the envelope
to see that.
You know? And their designer is one of the coolest fucking dudes.
He really is. He's really
you guys know him?
Yeah,
we met him at Pebble.
Why didn't you ask him?
Fucking legendary.
Why didn't you ask him?
We didn't think about it then.
We didn't think about it. I was too busy fucking drooling over the car that he had in front of
Pedro,
me.
Please tell me you have his business card.
I didn't get his business
card. Pedro has every person in the automotive industry's business card in his wallet.
I have his email, and I have their head of PR's email, and she hasn't messaged me back in a while.
Please, just this is a re-entry email.
You want to know a dick thing that I was going to do? I was going to put a deposit for a Chiron. and I was going to make him give me a test drive, and I was going to record it and release
make it. Do a vlog.
Just to be an asshole. But my problem was I told whoever I wanted to do it through my intentions, and I think he told them, and didn't work out.
But now we're going to have to wait to the SUV.
You never told me that, so thanks.
I'm sorry. Great. Well, it was
that
it was
information
just
would have been useful. That information would have been useful.
We couldn't even get away with that. No. Yeah.
So let's move on to some more VW news, by the way. So this is pretty epic, by the way, this news. And it comes from the whole Dieselgate scandal. But their head engineer, he was the engineer at the forefront of the scandal, James Liang, I guess is how you pronounce it. He was just sentenced to 40 months in jail and given a $200,000 fine for his involvement in the scandal. And mind you, prosecutors were only asking for 36 months and a $20,000 fine. And this is what the judge ended up handing down, because she ultimately said, you had the opportunity to blow the whistle on this. You had the opportunity to come up and say,
and lose your job.
And that's what she said. She said, you chose company over justice, is basically what she said. And
that is a really tough thing to fucking do and say.
That's a tough judge. It's a tough judge as well that they ran into to even take the prosecutor's recommendation on what they were seeking and bump it up even more.
So you're telling me the first person ever to be arrested in these fucking things is the dude that was told what to do?
Exactly.
The low level
this
engineer.
This is so fucked up, or that dude's family is getting so mega fucking paid.
But deep down, we know that I don't think they're.
How are you going to... How can anyone justify putting a dude that you're... I don't care if this is already ruled out. How are you going to tell that guy, dude, you should have just told on him, lose your job and be blackmailed from the car industry. And you'll also never get a job at Ferrari. Guaranteed.
So he was responsible for developing the software, by the way. This was the guy that was responsible for developing the software that cheated the systems, which ultimately ended up with 40 times the emissions of nitrogen oxide than what was recommended.
Which, again, a really fucked up thing that VW did.
Very, very messed up. And he was the main person in contact with federal prosecutors when this whole investigation began, and he lied from the beginning on what was going on.
But he had
what
to.
Was going on. He didn't have to.
He meant it in a circumstantial way. He had to.
Yeah, but he developed a software. He lied from the beginning. He had that opportunity to say, okay, you can either go to jail and continue to cover this up, or you can cooperate with us. Right. And we'll make sure that you're free and clear.
And we'll get you a job at Ferrari. By the way, Ferrari should scoop that dude up
immediately.
Like, oh, my God.
Second.
No.
Pay the fine.
Dude's a warrior.
Yeah, that dude.
This has been, like, he's proven his Ferrari-ness.
By the way, Ferrari's like, if that dude can do that with, like, emissions and stuff, like, the stuff we need is going to be a walk in the park.
But here's the big thing.
All we need is the fake number in the magazine. Yeah. Easy.
And the mileage.
Here's the big thing, though, is imagine what those VW executives are feeling right now, because they're actually still awaiting.
They're going like this.
No.
I totally agree with you.
They're still awaiting their fate. They're not out of it.
I don't think anything's going to happen to those guys.
The scapegoat's done. He's done.
Hey, let me ask you this. Do you remember about HSBC and Bank of America doing money laundering for the cartels in Mexico?
Yeah.
What happened with that?
Oh,
do you hear that silence? That's exactly what happened with anything.
During our economic whatever, you know that not one person.
That's what I'm saying.
Not one person.
Right at that time, that's when they were doing that. They caught Bank of America, because all of the banks had to go through like a lot of scrutiny, right?
Yep.
At that point, that's when they realized that they were doing money laundering for cartels in Mexico.
Yeah.
Literally found out, like, direct link. It came out. It was a huge fucking thing. Stock drop, everything. No one went to prison.
Well, they're saying...
Meanwhile, the fucking poor guy who just developed software for someone that told him, even though he might be a piece of shit, I'm not giving him, like, oh, poor guy. I don't know the guy. Well, anything.
Yeah,
that's fucked up.
No, it is messed up. But they're saying right now...
And the execs are not going to go to jail.
Well, they're saying that the former head of VW's Environmental and Engineering Center in Michigan, he pled guilty earlier this month on two charges of conspiracy to defraud the federal government in violation of the Clean Air Act. And they're saying that he faces 7 years in prison right now.
But he said that he was guilty, right?
He pled guilty?
Yeah,
he pled guilty.
And okay.
Is he white?
What's his name?
I'm sure he is.
Okay. So
I'm sure he is. Oliver Schmidt.
That dude ain't spending a minute in jail. Get out of here.
He pleaded guilty. That means he's got a backdoor deal where he's going to get fined $750,000.
And that backdoor deal is way better than the backdoor deal he would get in jail.
A lot better.
Even if these guys wind up in prison, they're gonna wind up at a white collar institution,
where they're
walking around free reign. Like if they wanted to leave, they could. They would just be brought back. But I mean, it's gonna be wide open for them. You know, like
white jails are interesting.
It's like a Marriott. That's what it sounds like. They're like a Marriott.
They're like, here, just please stay indoors.
And they're like, listen, you can't use a pool after 11. That's fucked up.
No
sir.
Massages. No.
But all jokes aside, man, this Dieselgate has caused tremendous amounts of problems, and I think one has directly affected not only the U.S. market,
I am a victim of the Dieselgate scandal.
Are you going to go on trial?
You're a survivor.
This is how I'm going to show up. Hi guys, my name's Alejandro Salomon, and I am a victim of the VW Dieselgate scandal.
I've been waiting for over a year
for my AMG GTR now. And that is dead serious. We just did a Let's Talk About Cars on it for the main channel. And and just so you know, if you're listening to this, we have a different channel just for the podcast on YouTube. So if you are listening to us right now and want to watch us, just go on YouTube and search LTACY. Salamandrin, El Tacy, Let's Talk About Carcio Salamandrin.
I have no idea why people would want to watch us.
I'm sorry. Don't
wait. It was so weird when we pulled the podcast. We were like, okay, that's what everyone wants. No one wants to see this. And then I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
We're back.
I haven't showered.
We have a very bipolar fan base.
That's right. But I'm sorry. What was I saying?
You were talking about your AMG GTR.
Oh, yeah. No. Because we did the Let's Talk About Cars here on the main channel about this, where I explained to everyone the real reason why the AMG GTR hasn't been released here, because they've been sitting at the pier since May.
Yep.
Since fucking May.
Wait, at the port, not the pier.
I'm sorry.
At the Santa Monica Pier. I'm sure. Hey. He's like, the GTR is at the Santa Monica Pier.
Everyone wants to see the Ferris wheel.
All these fairs that are going on right now. It has been sitting at the port since May. And I thought it was a joke, and I thought Mercedes was having some problems, or they were trying to like sell on the new grills, which, by the way, I still think that's related
Can you explain everyone your issue right now with the GTR and the regular GTR?
I've been very excited about the AMG GTR for about 2 years. That's how long I've been waiting for it. That's how long it's been out on the in the public eye. So for 2 years, they haven't released the car, obviously. And until now, like last year, December, they were like, yeah, you're going to get the car December of last year, blah, blah, blah. Okay, car doesn't show up. Yeah, hey, don't worry about it. It's going to be one of those February deliveries. Ah, okay, I'm used to those. Don't worry about it. Bullshit, no February. But don't worry, it's an April delivery. Okay, it's my wife's birthday, April. I'll take her out to dinner in the thing. All right, it's not April. But you know what? For Pebble Beach, you're going to have your fucking car. Okay, awesome. Oh, Pebble Beach, great. Okay, I want it. Pebble was 2 weeks ago, guys, and I'm still here.
Still waiting.
Now the thing is, we were like, what's going on? Why is Mercedes not delivering the cars? Then we find out that it's really related to the VW scandal. But also, happy coincidence, all these new AMG GTs that are coming out have this fucking grill, like the coupe, the $114,000 base car. Yeah. Has that grill in the same look.
So going back, so that your GTR had that, I don't know what it's called, Atlantic grill or something.
Whatever it's called. And they made a big deal about it when they were selling it. And I have the fucking pamphlet, the grill, redesigned new look, more aggressive, more sporty. Buy it now, motherfucker. And now every cheap fucking car has that grill. But you know what? That's not my problem right now, Farshad. That is not what we're talking about right now. That's the least of my problems. The big problem that we all have right now is with the VW scandal, because of them, Mercedes is having a really hard time getting this car cleared through EPA, through the EPA standards.
Yep.
So it's not only Mercedes at this point. We found out that there's a lot of Audis and 2018 Porsches that are stuck in there and no one's getting them, and they're like a month late.
AKA VW group.
Well, anything in the VW group is going to be held
The Performantes are 2-3 months late, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That too. So, I mean, we're all suffering. And also, just in the United States, we're getting fucking pounded by this. Didn't Donald Trump get up there and immediately dismantle, like destroy the EPA? Right. How is the EPA stronger than ever,
most efficient they've ever been there.
Like, legitimately, Donald Trump went in there and said, like, I'm going to fuck this shit up. VW is the only thing that managed, which I actually now think, even though it's a fucked up thing for us car lovers, it's a pretty good thing for the world.
Yeah, of course.
No,
of course.
It is a good thing.
It is because Donald Trump did try, or did it. He basically destroyed all of it. And literally everything that's keeping everything together right now and making it more strict than ever is VW.
But everybody else in the UK has already done a video on the AMG GT.
I am so fucking done with this.
Now it's
I am so fucking done with this. And I keep getting tagged on pictures, on videos, on everything. Alejandro.
But what do you think about the AMG GT and the GTS? I mean, essentially, is it just a rebodied version of the old one? And so
I can't tell you that until I drive it.
But no, what I'm saying is, did they just put the new grill on it and it's the same car underneath, and so it's able to pass emission the EPA test that quickly to come through? Like,
well, we saw the car at Mercedes.
Right,
you saw that.
But that's
the coupe.
What I'm saying.
Forget about the convertible, because we saw the convertible with the grill.
Yeah.
We went downstairs and we saw the coupe
with it, with the new grill.
With the new grill, just a regular bullshit car.
Yeah.
I think, by the way, I think they're all going to get the A-class, B-class, C-class.
They're all going to start getting that grill.
Everyone's getting the new grill.
Which is perfectly fine. If the car would have came out a year ago.
You just want to drive around with the new grill before anyone else gets the new grill. You're a new grill guy.
Hey, I'm the type of guy that likes the new grill the on new this grill. Car.
By the way, let's think about this. All these cars sitting in a port, dead batteries. They're all going to need new batteries. They've been sitting there for months.
Hey, listen, for the government of California, if you guys are looking for a battery supplier, we provide the biggest, baddest, best fucking batteries out there in the market for your cars.
But don't you get those cars? Or
we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
The leading supplier of trickle chargers.
The other thing, so we went to get a smog check for your CGT last week. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, they got to put it on the dyno and they got to stick the thing up the tailpipe. He's like, no, my friend, we plug into a computer. So you're telling me your only data that you're getting for this smog check is through the car's computer, which is telling you how much it's smog.
But you don't know how corruptible that computer is, which we know it's easy to roll back miles on a lot of cars. I don't understand how that works. I don't know how
that's
clear.
That's a joke, man. That's a joke. If Volkswagen Group created a software, right, that the software knows, oh, we're being tested, switch to like good mode.
Clean. Yeah. And why can't the cars rolling clean all the time?
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing.
You don't think when that guy pops in the whatever OBD2 like scanner thing, the computer of the car doesn't go, oh, we've been
inspected.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? It's like knocking on the door. But no. You know when the FBI shows up at your door and they break into your house and whatever?
Yeah.
This is like the FBI calling you, hey, we're going to be coming to your house in like 5.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you just hide everything.
Yeah,
exactly. Like you got a pretty good heads up.
If anyone knows about the smog, please tell me how this
I'd love
is better,
to know.
Better than the actual physical, like because that probe. Like
literally measuring whatever shit comes out of the
now
exhaust,
you're just
basically.
Asking the computer or the car?
Yeah, I'd love to know that. This is a real thing that Farghini and I were very curious about.
No. I think that's something that. That is.
Do you think we just broke a new scandal?
Nah. I don't think so. I don't think
you
so.
You know what? This is really fucked up. Yeah, now that I think about it, this is really fucked up what VW did. Even the Koenigseggs are fucking homologated in here.
And
we can't even get like regular Porsches.
Yeah, but just think about how long Koenigsegg has been trying to get homologated.
No, I know. It's
you
just
know
a
what
bad
I mean?
Joke.
Like I want to hate fucking VW Group, but fuck, dude, the new Chiron's
it's
dope.
So nice.
The new Lamborghini.
Nice. The Aventador S is nice.
With all of this happening, though, I have a very, 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 very important question.
Oh, boy.
With this all happening, what cars do you hope get stuck at port and stay there forever?
Oh, man.
Mine that I'm going to propose is the Ferrari Portofino.
Oh! The Portobello?
I hope it stays there. I hope it doesn't make its way out
of port.
It
even's got the name in it.
No, port.
You don't have to worry about it. That Maserati chassis already passed emissions and everything. No, I actually don't know if this one's a Maserati chassis like the first one.
The Portobello.
No. That's a mushroom for me. The Portofino. Is the car. The California.
I got you.
Okay.
I am completely against the idea of an entry level Ferrari now.
Anyone listening to this, I'm not against the idea. I think the way they did it is retarded. and I'll explain why in a second. As to my opinion, obviously, which, whatever, who cares? So the Ferrari Portofino used to be the Ferrari California. The Ferrari California was a project that Maserati started. They wanted to do like a brand new GT car. And someone within Ferrari, this is the story, this is the legend, this is the myth. Someone within Ferrari said, hey, here in California, I can sell this fucking car as a Ferrari. Like, you have no idea, because it's a hard top. It's beautiful. Just put a Ferrari
badge. Mistress car.
Let's do, exactly. It's perfect for it. We can sell thousands of them. And they were like, you know what? Let's give it a shot. They named it the California for that reason. Perfect weather, blah, blah, blah. They came up with a whatever jerky bullshit reason that they did the car, whatever. People hated the fucking California because they don't call it a Ferrari. It's not a real Ferrari, right? Because it doesn't have all the elements.
And by the way, the California name is, you know, a legendary fucking
But the thing
Ferrari
is, Ferrari
name.
Doesn't make that many cars. If you think about it, they make their mid-engine car, which is a 488.
Yep.
They make the F12.
Yep.
And the hypercar.
That's it, right? Yeah.
That's it. That's it. And right now, with everything and everyone's competition that's coming up, because the only the cool thing about Ferrari is, for the longest time, being the mid-engine car that they were, the 430, the 360, the 355, that car had no competition. Like, virtually had no competition in any sector.
As a mid-engine.
Then the F12 came out, the 599, all of that. The only real competitor, which is not really a competitor, is the Aventador. Because it's the big boy Lambo, it's the big boy Ferrari, the V12, the whatever. But they don't compare because the styling is so different.
Correct.
Which is a great thing for Ferrari. But now that there's so many GTs, like great GTs, what's going to separate your line? Ferrari needs that California. That's why they needed the California. That's why they need an SUV. They also have the Lusso, by the way.
Yeah,
the
F12.
Which?
No, the F12, we already said.
Oh, okay.
Which is just which four is the, models,
Which is the SUV.
Again, which will become the SUV, if you will.
Yeah,
that's not that many models on their cars that they have, right? So now they went and made the small one like an entry easy coming in, because the 360, the small, the 488 used to be really cheap. It used to be around $200,000 back then. So they introduced the California at lower than that. They raised the prices, ipso facto, the 488 turns out to be way more expensive now. The California becomes the entry car. But look, the other entry car that you're competing against is
570.
And how fucking spectacular is that car?
Well, in my mind, I was thinking that's not even a competition.
But you know what I'm saying? And this is exactly my point, and why there's I'm so frustrated about it.
There's a 570 convertible that's fucking beautiful, hard top.
But they don't call the 570S, or nobody refers to the 570S as an entry-level McLaren, or the Lamborghini Huracan as an entry-level Lamborghini.
That's a great observation.
Because everybody calls the Ferrari California the entry-level Ferrari.
Well, we called the Gallardo for a long time the entry-level Lamborghini. That's why I fucking hated that car. It was a piece of shit. I know that there's a lot of fanboys of that car here. I fucking hate it with a passion. I think the Gallardo was a tremendous piece of shit. Hate it. Anyways, if that's not clear, that was an entry-level Lamborghini. Yep. Now, Lamborghini got rid of their entry-level Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. Now there's Lamborghinis.
Right? Yeah, like it's a proper
now there's McLaren.
Of course. Yeah. Exactly.
Ferrari still has an entry-level car.
I hate it.
And you know what? You know they're thinking about it. Entry-level Ferrari, the Dino. How do you feel about that?
Now, they can't. They legitimately will be competing against Maserati themselves.
Yeah, they will.
They need to acquire, Ferrari needs to acquire Maserati as a Ferrari product and rebrand and redo the whole thing and rework it in a different way. They have to. Yeah. They have to at this point in time right now. They have to. That's my pitch to Ferrari. They have to. They don't realize it. They don't understand it. And I know that a lot of people are saying, that goes against all of the Ferrari everything. Yeah, but you need it right now. Yeah. You 100% need to add more to the lineup, to add more range, and also to open your market up, because your same business mentality that you've been carrying for years doesn't work in today's world anymore. It doesn't. Why do you hate so much the Portofino, the entry-level Ferrari?
Because I don't see much change from the California to the Portofino. Other than the name change. And after driving the California, I'm just not a big fan. It doesn't feel worthy of the Ferrari name. It feels
Maserati-ish.
It doesn't feel right, you know. And maybe this one will change my mind when I get into it whenever they make their way out here. But I don't like the idea of it. I want the prestige of Ferrari. I want that's what I want and, back.
But
is
that's
the prestige.
But that's what the Ferrari collectors want. And the problem is, you gotta come into this market and just be something else. You can't. There's no prestige anymore. There's none.
You got to back up.
They're showing that they don't have it.
Yeah.
And also, what's you're just going to be a prestige line from now on. Aston Martin's doing a fucking hell of a job doing that. Yep.
But they still have prestige behind them. They still feel prestigious. Like, I don't want to confuse anyone with the difference between prestige and elite. Ferrari wants to be elite.
100%.
Right? Without the goods.
You have to be somebody to have a Ferrari. I don't necessarily want that. I want it to feel like what I'm buying makes me better.
Like the 570, if you will. Because it feels like you don't get in that and you're like, oh man, well, this is all I could afford here in the McLaren lineup. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Like you're getting that Ferrari and you're like, oh man, this is all I could afford.
But here, this is the way I look at it. The Ferrari owner is not necessarily a performance driver.
No, they're not.
Right?
It's not.
I want to stunt on you. Not a poser, but like.
Kinda.
Status symbol kind of.
Because there's two different Ferrari guys. The guys that like the. No, I'm serious. There's the guys that are like comparable to BMW drivers, like the guys that are crazy. And listen, love those guys. They love loud engines. I completely understand it. That part of Ferrari, I get, I love. That's the part of Ferrari that still has my love, which is the loud, obnoxious fucking rear tires just lighting up everywhere.
Not even that part of it. Not even that part. It's just the like, oh, I have a Ferrari. I'm rolling up to the club in my red Ferrari.
That's the other part. Whereas, that's a really bad part.
Whereas McLaren is like, okay, I'm looking for performance and I'm actually looking for the latest and greatest in technology. So I think Ferrari will always have that prestige of it being a Ferrari, of it being an art on wheels, like a Pagani.
I don't think it will anymore. I don't think Ferrari has anything to just stand alone anymore. The looks.
Have
you seen that 570? Have you seen that 720S?
Hold on. But the Ferrari line is gorgeous. The Ferrari line is beautiful. The 812 is gorgeous. Everything's gorgeous.
They're beautiful cars.
That's the one thing they have going.
Yeah, they're beautiful cars.
They're beautiful cars.
Aston Martins are beautiful cars too.
They are, but it's a different kind of beauty. It's a different kind of beauty.
I think that beauty goes like you can never compare beauty against each other because you can never compare two things.
It's subjective. Yeah. It's absolutely subjective.
Yeah. But I think those two are in the same category.
One's a blonde, one's a brunette, you know?
Exactly.
But they're in the same category. Yeah. Right? Bang them both.
Of course. Of course. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But the thing is, I think Ferrari is just coasting by without having to be coasting.
This is what I'm saying. And that's not good. That's unacceptable anymore. You can't coast anymore. They got to absorb Maserati and like rework that whole thing.
Yeah.
They do. Whether they see it or not. They need to expand their product line and everything if they want to stay a relevant car maker that competes against today's market.
So bringing that topic up, that was my bad news.
That was your bad news.
That was my bad news for today. So I think now it's time for us to hop into Farghini's good news, bad news.
Here we go. Okay. All right, here we go.
Oh, boy.
First one. We got some Nissan. Got a couple Nissan newses.
Jesus.
Okay, good news. You can now own the first production Nissan 350Z ever built for $48,500. The very first 350Z.
Damn.
The bad news. A similar 350Z is going for $8,000 on Craigslist.
By the way, it's funny because it's true.
My friend who has that. My friend who has that GTR at Evan Paul. I tease her because GTR people look down on the 350.
They do?
Get that garbage away from me kind of.
I didn't know that they had that going.
I always like tease her. So I sent her this article and her comment was, yeah, it's still a 350Z. Like at the end of the day, it's a 2003 350Z. Okay. So some other Nissan news.
Hit it.
So the good news, the Nissan's intelligent rear view mirror now doubles as an LCD monitor.
Oh, okay.
So it's a mirror and LCD monitor.
That is a good.
The bad news. No more excuses for not watching our vlogs.
That's right.
Anywhere you go, you just pop it in the rearview mirror.
There's no excuses.
There literally is no more excuses.
Aside from losing your life.
Okay, here we go. Bentley in the news.
Okay, that is good news.
The 2019 Bentley Flying Spur, which is the four-door.
Mm-hmm. Of the new Continental.
Of the new Continental. Was caught testing with a new W12 engine.
Wow.
The bad news, Rolls-Royce still exists.
That is really bad news for Bentley. That is really bad. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
good news, Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
The C-Class, the 2018 C-Class, when it comes out, it is going to ditch the iconic star hood ornament. No more hood ornament on the C-Class.
What?
The bad news, rappers will now have to find a new brand to wear around their necks. That's it. Those days, do you still have that chain?
Yeah, of course.
And by the way, in a way, that is really good news to the jewelers.
Of course, because they can
get to create new designs, new Mercedes designs.
Our boy John can now.
This is a plug for John VVS1.
Yep, VVS1, VVS1,
VVS1, yeah. VVS1 on Instagram. John will make you anything with diamonds.
Yeah, anything with diamonds. New keys, new ornaments.
Ornaments, and they're fucking awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So check them out if you're looking at spending some money on diamonds. Yes. And this is not a paid in anything, as you all know.
John, unless you want it to be.
Unless John, yes.
Okay,
I'll take a Rolls Royce Spirit of Ecstasy.
Drenched in diamonds.
Drenched in diamonds.
If you were going to get that, would you want the premium diamonds or the shitty diamonds?
Shitty diamonds.
Just put the shitty diamonds.
No question.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Right. And our last piece of news, Toyota. Toyota in the news.
Okay.
Good news. Toyota Safety Sense, their new safety system, reduces rear end collisions by 90%. How amazing is that?
Oh, wow.
Now, that's bad news for people looking to increase rear-end collisions, like myself.
Like yourself. I was going to say, like yourself.
That's really bad news. That's really, really bad news. And that's
I'm sorry, Parghini. I'm sorry.
Parghini, oh my God.
He did it. He did it.
This week's good news, bad news.
He did it.
Well, that's it for the show.
Oh, thank you so very much for watching, you guys. Thank you so very much for putting up with our shit, Pedro. Really appreciate it. Parghini, thank you very much for bringing the zingers.
Thank you guys for seeing each other at 7 in the morning on a Saturday.
Of course. No, hey, it's our pleasure.
By the way, I do like these.
I like the early morning podcast.
Because you got all the energy.
There's no Jack here. There's no Rodrigo here.
Gets us going ready for you guys.
And
so,
we keep Starbucks in business.
That's right.
Exactly.
Hey, thank you so very much for watching. Thank you so very much for listening to those listening. Thank you very much for watching, to those watching. I know I already said it, but I appreciate it tremendously. Thank you to all of you guys who go on salamandry.com and leave you and make posts and give us some ideas to create more and fresher content, and especially to our pro subscribers. I cannot fucking thank you enough, because you guys keep the show alive and keep us doing this. Couldn't appreciate it more. Love our community, and I cannot wait to see you guys next week. Until then, next one.
Let's get out of here.